there's a show that I watch on Bravo called Vanderpump Rules. And it's like a spinoff of one of the housewives shows. One of the housewives owns restaurants. And then the show is about her wait staff.
And Vanderpump comes from what? Because that's
the
weird.
Lady's last name.
Vanderpump.
Vanderpump.
I would spend $50 and get that changed to something else at the course.
She's English or something.
Vanderpump. Okay, so you're now, listen, your new name is Katie Vanderpump. How excited are you on a scale of 1 to 10?
It doesn't seem weird to me because I've heard it.
Vanderpump.
Hey, my name was Katie Finkel. I've been through it.
My name used to be Emily Dunderdale. That to me is akin to Vanderpump, and I say, put it in the trash. Hey friends, welcome back. You are listening to the Mom Struggling Well podcast. I'm your host, Emily Thomas, and this is a podcast that helps you love your actual life so that you do not need to run away from home. Perfection is nonsense, and peace is a perspective shift away. So at the top of the show, you heard about Vanderpump. That was a name that really took me by surprise, I'm going to be honest. If you want to hear more about the shows that Katie watches on Bravo and me making fun of them, be a Patreon strug with us. You get two extra shows each month and a private Facebook group. I want to thank, so much thanks, to Kara, McKenzie, Laura, Brittany, Alyssa, Sarah, Jody, Christy, Krista, Rebecca, Kamiko, that's an awesome name, Aaron, Laura, Ashley, Courtney, Cora, Jenny, Montoya, Kezia, is that right? I bet it's not. Sarah Ann, and by the way, we now have a Laura Johnston and a Laura Johnson. I bet y'all get called each other's names all the time. I know I get called Emily Thompson half as much as I get called Emily Thomas. So yeah, Katie mentioned that our maiden name was Finkel. I don't know if you've seen Ace Ventura. If you're about my age, you sure have. Well, the bad guy on Ace Ventura's name was Ray Finkel. I believe he was a transvestite football player, if I remember correctly. That's our dad's name. So I had more people than I care to remember asking me to get my dad's autograph because of that movie. So anyway, just a little fun fact. Our name used to be Finkel. So anyway, join us if you want. We would love to have you at patreon.com/momstrugglingwell. It's a way to support content creators that you love, and we would love to have you. I want to tell you about a book I'm reading right now that is really giving me a perspective shift. She's going to come on the show later, but it's going to be a little while. So I wanted to tell you, it is called A Door by Sarah Haggerty. If you have not heard of this book or got it yet, I tend to be really type A and task driven. And so the idea of just kind of sitting and considering, pondering, talking to God about his attributes, that feels not like something I am going to spend a lot of time doing. But she walks through how to do it and why to do it and the way that it changes your heart. What you adore ends up becoming what you are. And so she kind of step by step walks you through it. And then at the end, there's 30 characteristics to adore along with like prayer prompts and whatever. It's just so good. So this is not an ad. This is just something I can't stop talking about lately is Sarah Haggerty's book called Adore. I think it's already out, so I would recommend getting it. Another thing I want to share is that my friend Kristen Lemus over at Brave Moms, she is hosting an online conference completely free this Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. She asked me to be one of the speakers, and so I'm going to be on there along with, I think, 12 other women. You can sign up for that for free again at bravemoms.com. Watch it from home. Just get as many girlfriends as you can. Tell them about it. Just a free gift to encourage you to continue to struggle well throughout this unusual situation we find ourselves in. Okay, so this week's guest is Erin Weideman, and I wanted to get her on the show in a hurry because she has a resource for homeschool moms. For homeschool moms who felt like doing it and did it on purpose, and for the rest of us who did not mean to do it but are doing it anyway out of necessity. So whether you are a homeschool mom by choice or by force, this show is for you. If your kids are too little to even do a blessed thing other than cry and sleep and eat, of course, it's still going to be really helpful for you because they're going to get bigger. She has really great practical tips that are going to make you encouraged that we all need because spring break never ended this year. So interesting. Let's go ahead and get started on my chat with Erin. Good morning, Erin. How are you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
Good. How's stinking San Diego, lucky duck?
Okay, so it was pouring rain about a week ago for an entire week where everyone lost their mind. And now it's better. It's sunny. It's 75. We've all, you know, taken a deep breath. We can be outside again.
Yeah.
The disaster is gone. Well, you know, the current disaster is still happening, but the weather disaster that affected San Diegans, yeah, we're all breathing a little easier because we can like be outside and walk around.
How's the COVID disaster?
In our house, it's fine. We work from home anyway, and we homeschool. So we spend a lot of time at home. We're used to going out and doing things like co-op and play dates and the library and all that fun stuff. But since we're all now confined to the house, I think it's creating, you know, just a new dynamic for moms and dads and kids who are spending time together in a way that they weren't before. That's certainly true in our house. So it's been quite an adventure, like doing 1,000 loads of the dishwasher every single week because where you're eating all your meals at home and everyone's using like all your cups.
All the cups. It's like they have like a quota they're trying to meet. Like I need to use 93 cups a day.
What is it? Even 1 o'clock, I think it's 2 days ago, I looked at our sink and it was full of dishes. And I was like, there's three people that live here. Like who is eating all this food? But it's us because, you know, you're not packing a lunch and sending them outside and you're not, you know, I'm not going to like coffee with my girlfriend or going to eat lunch out of the house because I'm working. So yeah, it's the cup situation and the dishes situation over here is a nightmare. But
so funny.
Yeah, other than that, we're great.
That's good. Yeah, it's been an interesting quarantine situation because I still am at work giving out. Like, I just feel like everyone's like, oh, I'm so lonely. I'm like, oh my gosh. If I could be lonely, that's one of my goals right now is to be lonely or have this moment that everybody's talking about having like watching everything on Netflix. That sounds so nice. I don't think a lot of moms are experiencing that at all.
Yeah. No, totally.
Yeah. So in the face of all of this situation where we've all our kids are come home from school they're no longer at school. School is now at home and people that don't even want to be. We did homeschooling and we decided we didn't like it. It didn't work for our family. And yet it now has to work for our family. So I'm sure that there's so many moms are like, I'm sorry, what in the actual world am I supposed to do? So
I picked not to do this on purpose and now it's been thrust upon me and I didn't sign up for any of this. And also there's no notice and no budget for any of it. So moms are like all freaked out.
Did you know that not feeling your unique, comfortable temperature can contribute to lost productivity, increased stress levels, or in my case, irritability when I'm trying to enjoy family time outdoors? But that Texas heat is ruining my good time. I recently tried Ember Wave. It's the first bracelet that helps you feel colder or warmer at the press of a button. You guys, it really does work. Ember Lab's mission is to bring thermal wellness to the world. Ember Wave was invented by three MIT scientists who are passionate about using temperature to help every person feel better physically and emotionally. At the end of a long day, Ember Wave even has a fall asleep mode that can help you maintain a comfortable temperature as you drift off to sleep. Give the gift of thermal comfort this Mother's Day. You can take $70 off the Ember Wave now during their site-wide sale. Go to emberwave.com/MSW to redeem this offer. Again, that's emberwave.com/MSW. So you have a ministry called Truth Becomes Her, and it is about worth and instilling worth in young girls and just kind of resourcing moms. Is that accurate?
Totally. Yeah. It started off as Bible Bells. So like on the publishing side, connecting girls with women of the Bible. And then as I started to speak, I quit my job as a teacher 3 years ago and like started traveling around and I would meet all these moms and women and talk with them. And they were just like, these books are so great, but where are the resources for me to like understand what I need to do, how I need to be an effective leader? You know, yes, I want to impact my daughter, but just like me as a woman, you know, I need to deal with the fact that I struggle with my identity. I need to deal with the fact that God like has made a purpose for me to walk out with him. And I really struggle. There's some barriers like between me and him and me and the world and all the things. So As I traveled and listened to all these women, I just was like, God just was like, you can expand this ministry. It can include women. It can include mentors. It can include, you know, the women who want to champion the next generation, just like give them some tools, give them some strategies, give them some studies to do, let them congregate, ask questions, like be vulnerable and just create like a really safe space online for them to do that. So that's why I love doing it. I'm just the shepherd of the community. I create all the resources and just invite women into it to be like, hey, this is a place for you. It's totally fine. Like you can be a mess. You can not have anything figured out and we'll just like be safe, be secure and be friendly and give everybody support like we all need as moms, right?
Yeah. Well, I think as I talk to women about identity, it's tricky because it swings to your identity is hustling and achieving and it needs to be shiny and it has to involve social media presence and all that is like not what it is. But that's automatically, you look at the fruit and it needs to look like this certain way. And it's not true, but then it's just such a hard concept to nail down.
Straight up. And I mean, I grew up in like the thick of believing that, right? Like when you grow up insecure and you are like, you know, bent on caring a lot about what other people think about you and you're constantly comparing yourself, this is what we do as girls and women. You know, I struggled with, okay, well, I got to achieve academically. I've got to, you know, get great grades. I've got to do great in sports. I've got to get a scholarship. You know, you try to earn and make it so that you're earning, you know, this worth that you want to have. And it's like something you're chasing versus something that God just placed inside you at the beginning of your life when he made you and he already loves you and he already wants to partner with you. And it's not really about what you're doing or creating. Like the fun part is doing and creating with him. Mm-hmm. And when you partner with him, like that's when the magic happens.
And it is fun. Gosh, like, it doesn't have so to be fun. A grind and striving.
No, and like freak you out. And the toiling of it, I think, is the danger for us as women because we'll toil ourselves right into the ground, right?
Yes. Even turning a great thing into something terrible for our family and our health and everything.
Yeah, and sacrificing everything about us to make sure everybody else is okay. And then by the end, it's like, well, we're empty. We're all poured out. We have nothing for ourselves and nothing to, I don't know, just like live in the fullness of what God wants us to remember about who we are. Because we're busy just pouring out all the time.
Yeah. I mean, so how do we fix it? Fix it right now. You have, in 30 seconds or right less, now. Fix it, please.
Yeah, I will fix it in 30 seconds. No, it's obviously a complicated situation. But I think what I've learned about, you know, teaching and being an educator for many years and then quitting my job, becoming an entrepreneur, like I've had to pivot a lot. And then in the interim, like became a wife, became a mom, didn't expect any of those things because I had cancer a bunch of times in my 20s. So it was like, God really showed me what little bits of surrender in different phases, ages, like stages looks like. And it wasn't this big dive into like the pool. Like I think women are just like, oh, I have to do this huge thing. Like you said before, like I've got to go big. It's got to look good. It's got to be amazing. It's got to have all of its like parameters online. And God, at least in my experience, like he's really shown me just when you do like these little bits of surrender, he's so patient. Mm. And you just surrender a little teeny bit at a time, like as he reveals it to you. He just walks with you and he's so tender throughout the process because it's really more about your growth, your development, what he wants to download on you a little bit at a time. And it's a journey. It's a relationship. And that's what I've really enjoyed about encouraging women in this season to just say, hey, look, this does not need to be like you know, letting go of everything and like moving to a foreign country and going to like, you know, enact your purpose like somewhere else. You can live your purpose right where you are. And God wants to show you a little bit at a time. It doesn't need to be this huge, scary thing.
Yeah. And he wants the emphasis on he wants to show you. We're so afraid we're going to miss like what we're supposed to be doing. And when things like, I don't know, global pandemics happen, then all of a sudden we think, well, now I have to put on hold my purpose. No, you don't. You get to be, you know, this is like you get to do your pandemic purpose. It's probably very similar to your regular purpose.
Just so you're different. Like isolated ladies, like you, this is cocoon time where you can like be inside your cocoon, like metaphorically and get things ready and like prepare with the Lord and spend your quiet time with him. And like, I know we're a little bit overwhelmed, but don't we have a little more time at home to like, you know, go off to a quiet space and really talk to him and spend some time investing and like, well, Lord, I can't go 1,000 places right now. I can't do all the things I'm used to doing. So like, what do you have for me in this season? Like, what do you want me to know?
Mm-hmm. It's so important to remember, like, he wants to tell us often more than we want to hear.
Oh, always. Yeah. Or we have a lot to say because we process out loud and with words. And I think sometimes he's like, hey, if you just sit quietly for a second, I'm going to download all the wisdom. So maybe just be quiet.
maybe just, yeah, hush up for just a second there, little sister. Okay. So I wanted to talk about something that you just started. It's called a masterclass. I don't know if you know about it. I'm just kidding. It's called Heroic Homeschooler. And for specifically the moms who are like, I'm sorry, how and why is this my current life? I love that you've done this.
So yeah, I got about a month ago it started when everybody was like, oh, we're home for a week. It's spring break. This is fine. We can just survive our life and wear our pajamas every day. But then nobody went back to school. And that's when the real messages started. People were sending, moms mostly were just like, hey, Erin, so I know you homeschool. You were a teacher for a long time. What in the world do I do right now? Because I don't have a plan. My children don't learn from me. They don't want me to tell them anything about what to do. Yeah, dude, their teacher kind of sent things home, but then their teacher really didn't send anything home I feel like I can use. So now I'm flying blind and, you know, I don't want them to fall behind. And like all the caring mom things that we go through where it's like, gosh, we're already nurturing them. We're already trying to teach them in different ways, right? To develop character and confidence and all the things we do as moms. But now with the academic component, a lot of moms are frozen and they're just like, dude, I don't know how to teach like fourth grade science to this person who's like, has special learning needs. And how do I meet this person? I'm not trained. And they're just in their head all day. So we created a masterclass. It's like, it's basically a mentorship series where it's videos, it's how-to guides, it's me explaining to you, okay, let's calm down. You can do this. Let's do a little teeny bit at a time. How do you develop a routine? What school rules do you like know in your mind that you think it needs to be that you need to break immediately because it's school at your house is not school at their school.
So oh, that's like such a good point.
You're cool not doing school 8 hours a day. You do not need to replicate their bell schedule. Yeah, like this special rotating like thing where it's all coordinated. Like every day is going to look very different. You can establish a rhythm with your family values. You can add faith. You can, you know, do all the things to customize and curate like exactly the best right situation for your family.
Yeah.
And it's going to be awesome and not like this thing you dread where you feel like it's a burden instead of a blessing.
Yes. That's what I have enjoyed, having more Bible included in the day. And honestly, you can just tell them. They have to do what you say. We're doing Bible, and you can handle it. But I didn't ask your opinion. We're doing the Bible. That's what we do. Anyway, so I've appreciated having more flexibility in that way. So tell me, in your masterclass, so I'm just asking you to give me some content for free, but 5 things that would help now.
Yeah, 5 things that would help. Okay, right now. So like I said one a second ago, you do not, like you need to let go of the idea that school has to happen for 7 to 8 hours a day. For your older learners, like middle school, high school, they're going to get their core subjects done and any of the enriching activities that they want to get done in probably 3 to 4 hours a day. So you could do it all in the morning. They can space it out throughout the day. And that's one thing, like that's the second thing I would say is please don't like box your children into like, it has to happen this way. Invite them in, especially your older students where it's like all they're doing is complaining. They can't see their friends. They're freaked out because they're like grieving all their friendships and their socialization, right?
Absolutely.
So give them some grace in this season and say, hey, okay, well, for me, because I'm working at home, what it would look like, what a total win for mom would be maybe if we do everything in the morning and then you have your free time at night or in the afternoons and at night. But ask your older kids, like, if this was a total win for you, how would it look? Would you be doing school 3 days a week all day? Do you want to do all day, like 7 to 8 hours, 3 days a week and have the rest of the time to like check in with your friends, you know, play games, do whatever you need to do that like lights you up to enjoy this season? Or would you like more of the schedule that you're used to where we do a few hours a day, 5 days a week? Like, what does this look like? And invite your family into these conversations because, and we know this as moms, right? Like, what you're trying to do is establish an at-home learning environment where your kids want to be there. They do not push back against you. They are enthusiastic, right? This is what we do as teachers. The number one question you ask as a teacher when students enter your classroom is, how do I engage each of these specific learners in the learning experience in a way that creates buy-in? So to do that, the number one thing you need to do, mom, is ask them what they think, how would they like it to be, right? And don't make it this dictatorial, like, I'm gonna lay the hammer down, that here's what we're doing.
Yeah.
But just like, hey, you've got these subjects, you're a human being, you've got thoughts and feelings and opinion. Even if they're in 3rd and 4th grade, they might go, gosh, well, I would love to do like my English language arts, you know, at 1 o'clock right after lunch, because that's when I feel the best about that subject. Cool, like get that on a schedule, try it for a couple of days. If it seems like it's not working, guess what? You don't have to do it. Like an effective leader, an effective mom knows this, right? We go, oh, this situation went awry real quickly. Let's not keep it going for the rest of the week. Let's just regroup and fix it. Like, yeah, it's not working for you. So my third tip is definitely be flexible, like create a schedule, but then hold that bad boy with an open hand, right? Mm-hmm. Like it's going to look different. Someone's going to throw up in the middle of the night. Someone's going to get sick. You know, you're going to have a work project last second. So if you get like a rigid schedule on your paper and you're like, dude, this is it. It's going to be awesome. In about 2 days, it's going to all look jacked up. So get some good ideas for where things are going to go. I always tell moms, fourth tip, blocks of chunked time. So you want to sort of divide your kids' time into like three different categories. Those categories are focused learning time, where they're doing schoolwork, studying, you know, test prep, the things they're doing that are school academic related. That's category one. Your youngest learners, like 25 minutes at a time, like, you know, preschool, kindergarten, 25 minutes. They can't sit and do a lesson with you where you're, you know, introducing material for any longer than about 20 to 25 minutes. So just give them a little chunk of time to do the focused work. And then they're going to rotate away from you to do something else. The second category. So after academic learning time, focus time, the other categories are helping out around the house, which, you know, we all need help. Like we talked a second ago about how there's 1,000 more dishes to do because everyone's home. So yeah, like figuring out what chores they can help with, like not putting the hammer down, being like, you're doing these chores. But like, again, if you want to create buy-in and positivity and a culture of peace inside your home, which I know you want, ask them, like, get 20 chores on a list that would really bless you, mom, that your kids do, and let them pick. They do 1 to 2 a day. They rotate away from you. That gives you a chance to like breathe, drink your coffee. Are you working from home? Because that's a totally different element. Like we work full-time from home where I've got full-time work to do that has nothing to do with school, where I'm manage all that too. So you've got to like build time into that schedule for you to do your work. So helping out around the house is category number two. And then category number three is just independent rest, relaxation, unique ability time where they get to do things. They have full access to your home, all the toys, all the games, all the fun stuff that they love to do. That stuff doesn't come to school with them. Mm. And they're in their safe, fun, secure space. There's no social pressure. There's no peer pressure. They're just in your home going, gosh, what really lights me up? I got my academic work done. What do I want to do? Do I want to draw? Do I want to paint? Do I want to do Legos? Do you want to check in with my friends if I'm older and have like a virtual date where we sit around and we socialize? Like, what does that look like for your kids? Get that on a list. And then again, let them pick. This is all about them having choice, having the freedom of being at home, not being dictated to. This is tip number five, right? They're told what to do all day. When to go to recess, when to eat lunch, when to go to class, what time the classes start, grab your backpack, switch around. And it's like, it's all dictated to them. They don't have any of that at your house. And so make that exciting for them to go, gosh, you can choose out of 20 different activities that you love. You can rest and relax right now. You get it for a block of 45 minutes, or block of 60 minutes, or whatever you want to give them. What do you want to do?
Yeah.
And then be quiet because they've got ideas. They've got plans. They've got stuff that they want to get done.
It's hard when the plans always include you and you're like, oh, I don't want to play.
Yes. Okay. And then I want to talk about that too. And that's probably tip number six. But like, don't our kids need, and they don't normally have full access to us during the day, right? And now like, who are they home with? Mom, right? Who cares for them, who takes care of all their needs and their desires, and who's there to help them. And they've got full access to you. So build in also like a protective boundary for your space, your time, right? If you've got them working on academic things, if they need your support or they don't, you can kind of, you know, delegate what they're, you know, you can designate what they're doing. And then as they rotate away from you to do independent activities, set up a boundary. I've done this with my daughter where, I mean, she's in kindergarten. The second she goes to an independent play activity, she's going to draw something, and 5 minutes into it, she's going to want to run over and show it to me.
Yeah.
But I'm on a conference call now, or I'm answering email, or I'm trying to write something because I'm the writer in the business. Mm-hmm. And I need uninterrupted focus time when I need to work that needs to be respected. And she needs to learn to honor that. Our kids aren't used to that. Mm-hmm. So there's a little bit of training involved in that, right? Like you want to sit down with your kids and say, okay, we're going to set a new expectation where I need a boundary to be able to like take a breath, get a coffee, go for a walk outside where like I'm not being interrupted every 5 minutes because mom's having to do a lot and shuffle a lot and be a lot right now. That's different for her. So training your kids and not just expecting them to be like, oh, they're going to be cool. They're sliding in this totally new situation. And there's no learning curve. Like, there's a learning curve. They're not used to this situation. So teach them, here's a boundary. Let's practice. Let's practice for 20 minutes where you do a 20 minute independent activity. I do 20 minutes of the thing I need to do. And let's see how it goes. But there's no interruption. There's a barrier. I wear these AirPods regardless of if I'm listening to music or not. Because even if she thinks, oh, I need to go interrupt my mom, this is a visual cue.
That's great.
Remind her, oh, my mom's off limits right now. I can ask her a question. I can ask her a question when the timer goes off. We do the timer on the microwave because she, like, if you have a timer that doesn't show the minutes, then they don't know because she's little. She's learning to read.
Yeah.
So we do the timer so she can see the countdown. Oh, I have 12 minutes of time left. And then I can talk to my mom.
Yeah, that's great.
It's so helpful.
Yeah. And, you know, and it feels when you haven't set any of those boundaries, like they just can't do it or won't do it. But like I've for 5 years now recorded a podcast and I just tell them I'm about to get on a call. Don't nobody bother me. And they don't. So they can function and stay alive for 60
Absolutely.
Minutes.
Absolutely. And they will have to figure it out, right? Like if they know they don't
life
have
skills.
Access to you and they're like, oh man, like I need a snack. Well, you know where the snacks are. You know what the snack times are. Like that's the other thing too is she loves to eat. If I didn't designate like, dude, your snack time. Okay, we eat breakfast at this time. Your snack time at this time. This is lunch. This is PM snack. This is this. She'd be in there all day long just like eating me out of house and home.
Yes.
And it would be this other kind of fight. So we've designated like these are the times. Here's a bowl of snacks you can choose from. So if I'm doing work on her independent, you know, play/snack time, she doesn't need to bother me like, hey, mom, can you make me a snack or can you make me some food? We plan ahead for that. So she can grab an apple. She can grab a bar. She can, you know, snack herself and not feel like, oh, I need to interrupt my mom because I need something right now. They have to learn to wait. And it's totally reasonable, right?
It is reasonable. But yeah, they don't think it is. So we think, oh my gosh, maybe it's me that's being unreasonable. So how are y'all holding up in this very unusual time? I know I personally am being followed around from room to room. Everywhere I go, I have a companion at home. It can be tough to take time to take care of myself, but thankfully I've discovered a company that makes getting a little self-care in super easy and fun. Their name is Barefoot Scientists, and they're the world's first premium foot care company. They have everything you need to keep your feet and your kids' feet happy and healthy when life has just stepped all over them. Plus, all of their products are hypoallergenic, dermatologist tested, free of parabens and things you don't even want anyhow. They're also cruelty-free, so they're approved for moms and kids, which is great because when I snuck away to do their mineral scrub on my feet, I was found by my children almost immediately. And they love trying the products with me. They also have an intense hydration cream that is so good. It contains 15 of the world's most effective moisturizers. Our feet were so smooth and they felt so fancy doing something different with me. So right now, all of you moms struggling well can get an exclusive 20% off your first order at barefootscientists.com. Use the coupon code MSW. And the shipping is always free. I personally think this would be a great Mother's Day gift for yourself. That's barefootscientists.com, coupon code MSW. Get all your foot care essentials right now at barefootscientist.com and use promo code MSW for 20% off your first order and free shipping. As always, I want to say a very special thank you to our longtime supporter and sponsor, PrepDish. So PrepDish plans the meals. We get to enjoy the meals. They're with us every step of the way, from the grocery list to the prepping order. You start with real food and you get stress-free weekly meal plans. So Allison and her staff will craft a week's worth of gluten-free and paleo-free meals. They have seasonal ingredients, so you're getting the best nutrition plus the best prices on food. You get the grocery list that's organized by section of the grocery store, and you get instructions for the prep day. In 2 hours of prep, you have a week's worth of dishes. I am a serious fan of PrepDish, and I would love for you to try it because I think you will be too. Go to prepdish.com/MSW and you can try it free for 2 weeks. That's prepdish.com/MSW to try this plan free for 2 weeks. Okay, so how about the multiple kids, multiple grades? Do you feel like it's good to keep them? So for me, and again, it's wonky for me because I'm gone three of the work of the school days and I'm home two of the school days, but I'm exhausted and doing podcasts in grad school. So our situation looks a little fly by the seat of our pants, but also my kids are a little bit older and they're in the kitchen whenever they're in the kitchen. I don't care what they eat as long as they clean it up. So yeah, it's a lot of Nutella being consumed on everything, but that's fine. As long as you clean it up, I don't care. I will happily buy Nutella. Anyhow, so for us, it's like, it doesn't make a whole lot of sense, our schedule. But for me, when they both come to me with needs, like I have to just say, I'm gonna sit with your sister and make sure she's done everything for the day. And you go do whatever you want to do. Just be safe. Climb a tree. I don't really even care. But go away right now because I'm with her. So for me, it's like one at a time and they do it independently. So what works though? What would you suggest?
Yeah, I think it totally depends on a number of factors, but the first one being like how much one-on-one support do each of your learners actually need? Mm-hmm. And you want to designate time frames that are going to make sense for, okay, if my first grader needs, 20 minutes of one-on-one only me support for like reading and, literacy, and we're going to review her phonograms and all that stuff. Like that's going to be you uninterrupted sitting with one student while the other ones work on something else. And the something else is, for the older kids or for other kids that don't need academic support in that moment can be, I had one mom ask me like, is it cool to give them busy work? And it's like kind of reframing that and going, well, let's not just like print off worksheets to keep them busy while you're doing something that's going to be productive and academically enriching for one student. If you get clear on like the types of practice work that you can print off, or like, getting a couple activities together where can they read directions on their own? Yes. Can they read a paragraph? And like, I mean, depending on their age level and ability level, they can certainly do activities that are not busy work. They're practice work that's actually going to enrich the lessons they're working on, the units of study that they're in for each particular subject. So I don't want parents to think about it as like, I just need to get my other students busy on this waste of time work so that I can work with one student. Yeah. So I think that's sort of a struggle for moms to be able to find those things. There's one video inside the mentorship that's all about choosing lessons and curriculum and how to like, okay, so if I'm looking for those activities, not to keep my kids busy, but to actually be able to work one-on-one with one of them while the other two are working on something that's going to enrich them, it's going to augment what they're learning in a core subject or in some of their other subject matter. How do I find those things easily? Where are they free online, number one, or low cost? Because again, yeah, No one budgeted for this situation. No. So I think just getting clear on like the blocks of time that work best for kids, who needs how many minutes of what kind of support, like, is it fully you having to support a student one-on-one for half an hour each of that, every single day? Or can you, like, is there something they can do where they need minimal support from you or a mm-hmm. little bit of help, maybe reading the directions, and then you can rotate away because they can do something independent of you?
Yeah.
These are all really good things to like gauge as you implement, like, okay, this is what we're going to rotate through for today. We're going to do it for 45 minutes. And then for the first 20 minutes, everyone's going to do this, and just implement it and see if it works. Keeping in mind that your kids haven't done this before. So if you're asking them to work independently, they're just going to need a little bit of grace and guidance from you for how to do it. And it's okay. It's okay. And it gets frustrating sometimes, right? When we try something new, we don't know how to do it. Like we get frustrated and so do our kids. So I think just, again, hold it with an open hand, be flexible, but challenge your kids. You guys can challenge each other in this season to say, hey, we're not used to working this way. So we know, Danny and Tommy and Lizzie need this kind of support for these particular subjects. Let's get that on a schedule so we can see it. And then work out a number of minutes that works for everybody where I'm not having to spend all my time with one person. I can sort of be across the board and kind of manage everybody. Because the trick for you, mom, is to like manage the situation and motivate them, right? We don't want to micromanage. We don't want to like overbear them, right? Especially if they're a little bit older, if they're third, fourth grade and up, they can handle more on their own. They don't need you to read the directions to them. They don't need you to stand over them and like hover like a helicopter, for 45 minutes of a learning period to go, okay, are you cool? Like they're going to be cool. Get them working on something, make sure they don't have any questions, rotate away from them, go do something else.
Yeah. And I like the every day they have a certain thing at our school to do. And as long as by the time they go to bed, it's done, I don't really care when. However, if you want to go ride horses, you will have your homework done. And so I'm telling you, that girl is up at when the sun doing her homework. And she's like, I just want to get out of here. I'm like, oh, that's so heartwarming. Good. So get your homework done. But then, so yeah, if you want to watch screens or whatever, your homework's going to be done. But you can dilly-dally as long as you want to dilly-dally. I don't care.
Yeah, we do. We talk about the have-to work and the get-to work.
Okay.
Where oh, that's it's like, good. Okay, I have stuff to do. Let me handle my business. And once my business is handled, gosh, like I have freedom. I have choice. I get to do all the fun things I want to do and I can anticipate those. And it's like self-incentivization, right? Where you're not standing over them going, there's these rewards. Like they know what the rewards are. Again, they have access to your home. They have their horses or like the things that they love to do that don't follow them to school are now like at their disposal.
It is so, kind of cool. Yeah. I love seeing it's my kids awesome. Just make themselves comfortable wherever in the house and just sit and learn. And it's really kind of fun. It's a lot funner than when I was doing homeschool, like full time.
She'll do her math on the floor or we'll do like vocab review on the trampoline, like just everywhere. And I think that's something that's important too. Cause like, even if you want to set up like a rigid schedule and have everybody at the kitchen table, like it's good to remind your kids that they can learn anytime, anywhere. The conditions don't have to be perfect. It doesn't have to be inside a classroom with 25 other kids where the teacher's presiding over that, you know, and you're all on your desk. Like that's not that is a way to effectively learn. That's one way to, you know, to learn material, but it's certainly not the only way. So the conditions don't have to be exactly what they're used to. They can learn anytime from anybody, anywhere. And it's a really beautiful thing.
Yeah, that's good. You know, and I think we can learn a lot about ourselves and about our kids through this time. If we kind of reframe it and think this is actually not the end of the world, this could actually be fun.
Oh my gosh. Couldn't it be fun? Like I enjoy, and we'll like yank board games out that we haven't seen for like 1,000 years. You know what I mean? We played checkers the other day or like just these weird card games that sit underneath our microwave cupboard where it's like, oh, we've been so go, go, go. And everyone's been out of the house. We've been doing this normal routine. And now it's like, there is a little time to just like sit around and stare at the people that you love that God placed inside your family and on your team for like a very specific set of reasons. And he gave us all these people to relate with and to love and to enjoy their company. So we're really enjoying like the extra time and not seeing it as like, oh my gosh, there's all this like empty minutes in the day to fill. But like, wow, we can just like play a card game on the floor because we feel like it right now. It's really fun. And then like talk about it as a family and go, gosh, like, let's set some time out for like us to bond with each other, us to bond with the Lord, siblings to get together and like play games together. Like there's time for all this now. It's so cool.
It's kind of neat. Yeah.
You know, when they're gone all day, they get home, they're wiped out. They've got to do their homework. They've got to, you know, shower, go, you know, brush their teeth, go to bed. And they don't have that time to just be members of your family. And you guys don't have that time to bond, but we all have that now. So cool.
Yeah. I love it. We've started a thing because our kids being around each other more, it's not necessarily going that well. They're not seeing it as an amazing opportunity that we are. But I think that, so we started something. My neighbor is a special ed teacher and she was like, what if you do like a journal where they find 5 ways to serve and like 5 kind things to do and write that down. And then that helps them earn extra privileges or whatever. And then it also is a snowball effect of them going, hold it, I am a nice person. I am able to be nice to this person who bothers me incessantly.
Yeah, well, sometimes like, don't we? I mean, I used to feel really, I was positive about that too. Like my sister and I fought like cats and dogs when we were young, right? And then like the best part of the morning was, oh, okay, I'm going to ride to school with this person that I want to strangle right now. But then I didn't have to like see her for the rest of the day. So it was nice to take like a little break away from the fighting, the bickering, the arguing, like all the things you would do as, you know, just siblings do. It's just part of being siblings, right? Mm-hmm. There's a lot of weird feelings that are associated with our family members. Mm-hmm. But I think I love that idea because you want like, this is a really good practice of not just like, let's be kind, but let's reframe this situation and see it. Like, I think a lot of times kids associate it with, because it's different, it's bad. Mm-hmm. Like, this is different from what I know. It's not school. My friends are not here. And they go to that place of like scarcity and like, oh, it's different. So it's bad. It's negative. It's not what I want. It's not good for me. And that like activities like that really reframe perspective and go, gosh, different doesn't necessarily mean bad. I mean, how many times like have you expected something? God showed up. It was totally different. and way better and like more of a blessing, more of, you know, what you didn't expect, right? And it ended up being really positive. That happens all the time. Mm-hmm. So I think just anything you can do to reframe the situation and go, okay, different isn't bad. A lot of times when God shows up, it is totally different. And that's what's happening in this situation. So let's find the good. Let's reframe our perspective. Let's figure out what we can do to be kind and really shift everybody's point of view to, well, this doesn't like not from this sucks for me and it's so different and I'm not used to this and like crying about it, but actually going, gosh, what can we get out of this season? How can we really invest in each other?
I love it. Yeah, it's good. So tell me, because we are almost out of time, what is something you cannot even stop talking about right now?
Blueberry scones. So I'm super pregnant, Emily.
How far along are you?
Yeah, I'm 23 weeks today.
Oh my goodness.
And like we became parents 6 years ago. I've had so many bouts of cancer. I like never expected to be a mom. So when I became a mom, I was like, what is happening? Like it was such a miracle.
Wow.
And now like we're having this other baby out of nowhere. And to get to walk this with my daughter who like knows she's a full-blown miracle and to watch how God moved again. We're having a new baby. It's so cool. But anyway, I digress because all I can think about is blueberry scones from my favorite coffee shop that I cannot go to because I'm high risk because I'm pregnant. And then I have a compromised immune system because I like, because of all the cancer stuff.
So my
husband's like, I love you, but unless you go out of the house, like wearing this paint mask that I usually paint in, you cannot go anywhere. I'm like, you're totally right. Thank you for being responsible. But I just miss that scone and I wish I could get it somehow.
I'm so sorry. Do you like bake yourself?
We do. And we bake usually like Friday night. We do like a hard Sabbath on Saturdays where we literally shut everything off. We don't work. We don't check emails. It's so great. So Friday night, as we're getting ready for that, she and I will usually like pop into the kitchen and bake stuff. So we've been making, all the things like muffins and bread and, you know, all the pregnancy comfort foods. Yeah. But I haven't tackled scones yet. I'm a little nervous. And then if I make them and they're not as good, it's going to be like, I just missed that scone I want.
No, listen, scones are simple. They're really, really easy. Please try a scone.
Okay.
Please try it.
Okay.
You'll be so happy that you did.
I have to. Because that's
if you
all
can do muffins
about.
And bread.
I wake up thinking about them. Yeah. No, I can, you know, I can follow a recipe. Thankfully.
You absolutely can. I need
can't,
to hear about
it. I can't cook at all, but I can bake everything.
Well, and as long as you get a recipe from like a great baker, like find a, I don't know, Food Network, Paula Deen, there's butter and stuff. So
it's butter
good.
In there. Yeah. Love it.
You can do it.
It won't taste bad.
No, it can't. It's impossible.
No.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for your work and thank you for these tips. I think they're going to be really encouraging to moms who are not loving this initially. I think they'll end up loving it.
Don't we get it though? Like, I get that you're not loving it. It's scary. It's weird. It's a silly time. Like, but we really can create a different situation inside our homes. And I think at moms, like, we have such a beautiful opportunity to be the ones that, like, control the peace, control the atmosphere, like, make everybody feel safe. Like, there's nobody like mom. And it's just cool to be able to add a different layer to that. I'm super grateful for this time. So I want to encourage moms to, like, know that about yourself. Like there's nobody that can do in your home and with your kids what you can.
Yeah.
And it's so beautiful.
Well, and literally we're making history. This is something none of us have ever experienced. Lord willing, we will not have to do it again. So let's make it pretty amazing. What about that plan?
Totally. And honestly, we're all going to look back and like laugh about how silly this was and go, gosh, I really did get like things accomplished I had no idea how to do. Cause I hunkered down. I didn't try to do it myself. I asked questions. I partnered with God to like come alongside my kids. Like that's what he wants us to do anyway. It's going to be, we're going to look back and see this time for like how silly it was, but then also for how rich it was and how we invested in all of our people. It's going to be awesome.
It sure is. Awesome. Well, thank you.
Well, thanks for having me, Emily. It was fun.
All right, ladies. I hope you loved that. I was really encouraged by it. She's got a great perspective. She has a plan, but she's not holding it too tightly. So how are you going to struggle well this week based on what Erin said? She talked about surrender in the beginning and how surrender looks different at different stages. And that God just wants us to give up a little surrender at a time. He just wants us to continue to submit and surrender to him. And sometimes we get so afraid of what that might look like that we just hold on really tight to everything. And I imagine like a little girl just like holding on tight and turning her back like, no, mine. And I think we definitely do that sometimes. but God is calling us to surrender, and it looks different in different times. And so right now, I think for a lot of us, surrender looks like, why aren't my kids going to school? I'm going to surrender the fact that I want my kids to go to school. I like some time to myself. I like my house to be a little less sticky and noisy. We've just gotten accustomed to what we think the school year is going to look like, and it looking nothing like what we had hoped is requiring us to do some surrendering. Or it's an opportunity to. We can go ahead and not surrender, and it's just not going to look very pretty. So maybe you struggle well this week by asking God, what area of my heart, what area of my schedule do I just need to surrender to you right now? Maybe you struggle well this week by being willing to sit with God and ask him what he would have you do during this time. What would it look like? And remember, he wants you to know what his purpose is for you. He's not hiding it. He's not being tricky. He's not a God who withholds. He is a lavish giver. He's very, very generous. So he wants to tell you. Sometimes we're just not listening. So maybe you listen this week. Maybe you sign up for the Heroic Homeschooler class by Erin. You can find her at truthbecomesher.com. I love this question she asked. What schedule would be a total win for you? I don't know why it does not occur to me to ask my children what they want. I just tell them how it's going to be. And guess how it goes? Not that great. And so maybe they say a total win for me would be starting the day with a big old piece of chocolate cake and then moving right onto recess and then screen time. And then I feel really ready to do math, like, I don't know, after dinner. I mean, whatever. Try whatever wackadoo thing they think of. And then if it doesn't work, try a different one. I'm not saying give them cake for breakfast. I'm not saying I haven't done it recently, though. I loved her idea of a protective boundary. Some of us parent with amazing boundaries. Some of us parent, and we're not as good at boundaries. So maybe you struggle well this week by making one boundary, one daily boundary that you just stick to. Don't try to make 19 boundaries if you don't have any, but maybe the boundary this week is, okay, precious angels, I am going to drink my coffee without anybody touching me. As soon as my coffee cup is gone, commence the touching, y'all. Climb atop my head if you must. But I'm going to have coffee with nobody touching me. Whatever it is that would bless you, you are allowed to have a boundary with your kids, okay? Hear me, mom with no boundaries. You are allowed. They will learn by your example that boundaries are good. You will be less stressed out. Have a boundary. And moms like me, everything doesn't have to be a boundary. Calm down. Be a little flexible. Parenting is fun, isn't it? I love the idea of a timer. Timers are very helpful. Ideally, ones with actual numbers and ones that are higher than they can touch and change. Or 30 minutes is going to go by in 4 minutes and you won't know what had happened. Maybe you just struggle well this week by focusing on giving them and yourself some grace. It has been a hot minute since things have been normal and everyone is like a little off their game. And that's okay. Maybe you struggle well this week by just reframing it, all this extra time, and embracing it. Do some of the stuff that you didn't used to do. We have been spending so much time in our courtyard. And for me, I'm going out there and not even like watering plants or sweeping or trimming the wisteria that's threatening to engulf my entire house. I'm just like sitting there. You don't even understand what a big deal that is. I have never in my life just sat there, but it's been great. Maybe you do what my friend suggested that I do with my daughter and do a 5 nice things journal. 5 ways that she has loved or served people. Whatever their weak point is, she kept making 5 things she had done to serve animals. And I said, you know what? I love that. I love your heart. But listen, we're not going to have any growth on loving people. You could serve animals without any effort. It brings you so much joy. It's the people that aren't your favorite. So let's work on serving them. And she was receptive to that. She's like, that's true. People are my weakness. And so she's writing 5 things every day that she has done to serve or love a human. And you know what it's doing? It is redefining for her who she is. She is a person who is able to love and serve humans. She is not a person who has to avoid humans or do whatever humans say, just as little as possible to get to an animal. She is learning to value humans, and it's been such a blessing. I'm so thankful for my friend Tina, who suggested that. So maybe you struggle well this week by picking that weak spot and encouraging them to practice strengthening it. And remember, like Aaron said, different isn't bad, and God is at work. I think something that I learned from Sarah Haggerty's book, Adore, is that God is working in us as we adore him to change our definition of good. We can look at this whole pandemic and go, ain't nothing good about this. Because yeah, on the surface, it's the opposite of good. But don't we serve a God who was like upside down and opposite? And he is able, Romans 8:28 tells us, to make all things good. Share this episode with somebody that you think would benefit from it. Will you do that, please? It means so much to me when you share this episode. If you haven't rated and reviewed the show, will you do that? Because here I am sitting in my closet. I don't even know that you're listening to it. Would you just bless my little socks off and rate the show on iTunes? I'd appreciate it. It can be my Mother's Day present. All right, so next week, Katie and I are going to do a Struggling Sisters episode. It's going to be on like summer. We're going to try some summer recipes with our kids. And we're going to tell you how they turned out. Might be a disaster. Might be amazing. But go ahead and make sure you're subscribed to the Mom Struggling Well podcast so that you do not miss all the things we're doing in the coming weeks. All right, let me pray for us. Lord, this pandemic has us all a little bit freaked out. Maybe we're not so much afraid for our health as tired of our people, Lord. And God, we are confident they are tired of us back because they told us to our faces. Lord, I know that you are so present in these times that are stressful. And I know that you're at work, even when we can't see things. God, I thank you for the work that I've seen you doing in the heart of my kids, even in this past week. God, would you remind us that our kids are new here? This is weird for them. It's just as weird as it is for us. We look at our big grown-up concerns and we feel like those are more valid than their kid concerns, but they're just not. We're all having our own very real and very valid concerns. So I pray that you would help us to see them as fellow image bearers, that we would honor them and we would gently and kindly and humbly teach them to honor one another. Lord, I thank you for this time, as weird as it's been, and the work that you're doing in all of us. I pray that you would encourage these moms richly this week. In Jesus' name, amen.